Hey, Jake.
Yes, sir.
Did you know it is our anniversary month?
How long have we been married?
No, the show.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah, I did know
the
that,
show's
actually.
Anniversary. We are turning 6 years old, and to celebrate that...
We're going to first grade.
Close. We're giving a discount on our Patreon. If you join the year-long subscription to the Patreon, you can get 15% off during the month of May. You can find out everything about our Patreon at patreon.com/thecritshow. But all tiers for the month of May are 15% off when you sign up for the annual membership. Is that as exciting as first grade?
You know, now that I'm kind of remembering back to first grade, that's far better than first grade.
Thanks for supporting the Fable and Folly Network. Here's another show we know you'll love.
Hey, we're the Looters.
Hey, what's up?
Looters is a sci-fi western actual play podcast using the Stars Without Number system.
We're a group of friends getting into trouble all over the universe.
So come with us if you're into adventure.
A rocket flies out of one of these ships far behind you and crashes into the wall and blows up.
There's rockets?
It's Mario Kart.
Crazy.
Intrigue.
Can I hack into the body and maybe see if they have like a memory data bank in their brain or some shit like that I can access?
That'll literally.
Devastating physical injury.
Just take cover.
Okay. She's a good pilot, everyone. Very good. She's very good.
And friendship. Aww.
New episodes of Looters out every Tuesday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Like, I wonder if it's just going to be, like, it's going to sound like we're recording out in a field. We're outdoorsy today.
That's what I was going to ask you. Like, is the mics picking up, or are the mics picking up that?
Yeah, I'll find out when I edit it.
Fair enough. Oh, no.
Oh, that was a big one.
Did you see that they're making a sequel to that?
Yes. No.
I've got two conflicting stories.
Maybe.
Yeah, I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
When?
I don't know.
I didn't know if like it was like, yeah, the sequel's coming out in a year or two.
Like,
or...
There's not like previews or anything yet.
He didn't mean like when is the show coming out. He meant like when are you going to be excited about that?
Oh, here in a minute.
Wait for it.
Now.
And he's excited.
We're just in the middle of talking about something else and
freaks out over the sequel to Kung Pao. Actually, I feel like I saw a sequel to both of those movies is in the works now, that Kung Pao and also Kung Fu Hustle.
Oh, Kung Fu Hustle. Yeah, they're definitely working on that too.
For real?
Yeah.
Get out.
Stephen Chow, there was like an interview with him and stuff.
Yeah. Anyway, that's for our other podcast where we play Enter the Fist. So this week, today actually, I will be on episode 17 of The Hard Move, and The Hard Move is an actual play podcast. They have people on from different podcasts, people who know the games really well, and each episode they talk about a specific move from a Powered by the Apocalypse game, and so it could be from any of the Powered by the Apocalypse game. The guest brings in the move they want to talk about, and so I will be on episode 17 talking about Act Under Pressure.
Oh, nice.
Oh, man, I was hoping for Weird Science.
No. Also, at the end of this episode, if you want to stay tuned, I had mentioned last week that I made an entry into the Rode.com podcast competition, and the only rule for it was that it had to be less than 2 minutes. So if you want to stay tuned afterwards, I have tacked on, it is This Old Haunted House. It is a fix-it-up podcast, how to deal with things within your haunted house. And if you enjoy it, you can go over to Rode.com and find the contest. We are entry 354 if you feel like giving us a vote. And then lastly, actually, you know, I've had a lot of people ask me, why do we bleep the F word? We've talked about it a little bit before. And, you know, early on, it was just really a matter of we didn't want to turn anybody off because there are a couple people, you know, that word hits them harsh. And also just because we were using it with no purpose. We were kind of using it, as Lewis Black says, as a comma. And so we kind of got out of that habit. And I made the realization that today's episode gets a little salty. Fair warning. And we're to a point now in the story where, you know, whenever I go to bleep something like that, it takes away from the tension. So from here on out, we will no longer be bleeping that word anymore, because whenever it gets used, it's usually kind of important and impactful, and to bleep it just turns it into a joke or makes it funny, or I have to cut it and the moment loses something. So fair warning on that we won't be bleeping that anymore. We are marked as explicit. You know, it won't come up a ton, but it will be there in its entirety. So I guess with that, to honor it one last time, it's time to let the f***ing recap roll.
Oh, very pretty. You brought me exactly what I was looking for. The thing you seek is in the cellar.
You go over to the cellar door and you open it. You head down the stairs, and on this old wooden table lays the spear.
I will just, slowly, almost cautiously and reverently approach and take it.
You pick it up and you feel this energy course through your system. To say that you are suddenly jolted from a sleep doesn't even quite hit it, because you see the world completely different for a brief moment as you hear Rachel's voice come back into your head.
Oh, that was horrifying. I couldn't quite communicate with you. I felt like I was starting to drift away, but oh, this feels great.
Hell yeah, it does. It worked.
I want to motion them over into a bit of a huddle, like, hey guys, you want to kill Baba Yaga?
So as TJ whispers this to you guys, Jake kind of instinctively stumbles backwards away from him as he hears a loud noise from behind him, and he falls to the ground. Tash, you are able to back away from TJ as these three hands slam into TJ and hold him to the ceiling, one around his throat and the other two around his arms.
I know what you let loose on the world.
TJ is pinned to the ceiling by the three disembodied hands, and Baba Yaga slowly advances on you all, and as she does, she reaches behind her back, and like some corrupt magic trick, she pulls from behind her back an impossibly large stone pestle. It's like 4 feet long and 2 feet around, and it is stained with maroon in spots. And as she gets closer, she stands a little taller. It even seems like her teeth aren't as crowded in her mouth anymore.
I'm going to scramble back to my feet and try and like kind of position myself between her and the rest of the group and just be like, okay, this has gotten out of hand. I apologize for TJ. I don't know what the hell he's talking about. We're not going to do anything. Nothing bad's going to happen. Let's all just simmer down and talk about this and be on our merry ways.
You talk to me as if I have not heard your scheming this whole time. The things you have discussed and the deals you have made, each one of you. Don't talk to me like I'm stupid.
She snaps her fingers and you hear your voice saying,
I think you should go talk to him again and basically negotiate that he waits to make his move until we have accomplished our goals and are gone.
And she looks at you.
I don't deny that. If you imprisoned Koshe the Deathless once, I imagine you can do it again, right?
I did not do it alone, and it was many, many years ago.
Are you suggesting you've gotten less powerful over the many years?
I'm suggesting the people who helped died to do it.
Oh.
Myself, your 5 gods, and 4 others it took.
I look at them. I guess I look at Tass, TJ up on the ceiling. I don't think we had any concept of how dangerous that guy was. I mean, then we dicked up, but that's going to be on us later. We're going to have to deal with it.
You were unwilling to try and deal with him in his weakened state. How do you expect to deal with him now? Return to full power.
The same way we've dealt with everything so far. We have somehow limped through and come out on top in most circumstances here.
You have been the cause of many deaths, and your friends have been damned in your doing, and you have joined with people you claimed were enemies.
And she snaps her finger again, and you see Ori, you see Damien, you see Rev, you see Strome.
In theory, all toward a good ultimate goal. Wait, who? What are you? Because I thought you were, like air quotes, a bad guy.
Why would I be housing the weapon of the Chosen if I was a bad guy?
You tried to eat us.
When you had not presented who you were.
I mean, I tried, but your chicken house ran away like 4 times.
Yes, that is what has kept me safe from Nash all these years.
Well, I tried.
Which I think is the only summary we can give of everything we've done so far.
Is your moral compass?
I point at Jake.
And she looks at Jake after you point at him. No, it changes. As soon as it becomes difficult, you seem to turn on people. I've watched this one turn on a friend, turn back, and turn on him again in the course of a day.
I mean, in my defense, dude's a demon, commonly thought of as a bad guy.
Why would you make a deal to begin with, then?
To try and bypass a greater evil, theoretically.
Then why did you side with him at the end?
Because we realized he was the better guy. Like, that's all I can say. You're calling out a lot of absolutely valid faults, but we have a mission, and it is to stop Nash, and who I think we can agree is the universal evil here, the big, big bad.
Yes, and you have just put a powerful and deadly piece back into play within his grasp, all to make things easier for yourselves in the task handed to you.
If you told us, one, that Koschei existed, and two, that he was Nash's greatest ally.
It is not my job to tell you anything. It is my job to see how you deal with problems. The how is just as important as the what.
You gave us a task, and we did it. We did the task. I have this in my hand.
She holds her left hand out, and you feel the spear rip from your hand, and she catches it.
This means nothing compared to what you have done today.
Yeah, we've flip-flopped. We've sided with the bad guys. We can't help the information we don't have, such as, don't let the guy out of the damn maze, okay? We made a call. We solved a problem. That's what we did. At the end of the day, we did it. At the end of tomorrow, we're gonna do it!
And what will be lost along the way? All roads paved with good intention.
I'll go to hell for this. The road to hell is paved with them, and I will pave it the whole way if it saves the world.
It is not yourself you damn to hell with your actions. It is countless others who will suffer for what you have done here. And yet you still think that all means justify the end. You must learn.
Then teach us. No one's been doing it. Show us. Tell us what we need to know.
If you are all destined to save the world, you must decide what you stand for and stay true to it. Stop betraying those who you claim to trust, and stop trusting those who offer an easy solution for the price of your morals.
She takes a few steps forward, Tass, and she holds the spear out to you.
I take it.
You. Oh, you are angry. You rage at me. There was no trial, nothing so holy or preordained, merely a chance to see how you act when backed against a wall, and yet you rage. Oh, you rage because you know that if this had been a trial, Tass Allgood, then you failed.
And she walks back to her chair and she sits down.
Can I come down now?
Yeah, the hands relax and they lower you to the ground.
And I'm just heading for the door. I'm not looking back.
I'm following him. Is there anything we need to accomplish before we leave here?
No, let's just get the gear and get out.
Okay, then I'll take us back to the campsite to collect our stuff and then take us back to headquarters.
All right, roll Angel Wings.
12 on the first one.
All right.
All right.
Yeah, you guys gather up your stuff, no problem, and rolled again to get to IPT.
And 12 on the second one.
You guys end up outside of the IPT. You can see that there's still a lot going on inside, and the three of you turn and walk into the building. And now it's time for end of session experience.
Oh my god, am I going to earn experience again?
He just goes, no.
Technically, you didn't have this until right at the end, so I'm afraid not.
I've taken a liking to you not earning anything. I think I'll keep it that way.
I've got a taste for it.
Oh, god.
Okay, so did you conclude the current mystery?
Yes. Mm-hmm. We went to Russia and we retrieved the spear that we were there to get.
Yeah. Did you save someone from certain death or worse?
Kinda.
We kinda saved a guy from eternal imprisonment. Yeah. That's a thing.
You sure did.
Yeah, we gave him his tongue back.
You did. Well, let's have to come back to that one. Oh, I technically, you guys did save someone from, you know, he was just in purgatory.
God, I wish there was a radio equivalent for the face Rev just made.
It's like, oh, God, does that count? You did save him, but I don't know that that gets a point.
Saving the monster in
question. Saving the monster, yeah. I think we've had a
the monster was man, so.
Kinda, yeah.
Saving world.
That's fair.
Yeah,
that,
I think we've had
totally
a time
fair
in the past where saving the monster didn't count. Did we learn something new and important about the world?
We learned that the serum that you created can easily put things back together.
I wouldn't say easily. You know, I think we can talk about this now that that moment has happened, but it would have been a different result if Tass had not been healed. Because Tass had been healed back to full and you used the werewolf serum, it was able to use entirely the regenerative property of it to reconnect the leg.
Oh.
Nice.
So that was kind of a happy accident.
We learned that there is an entity that is so powerful that it took Baba Yaga, five gods, and unnamed others to subdue.
Yeah, and it killed the other four.
And it killed the other four, and that is also who we saved.
It is who you saved. That is something super important about the world, that there are things more powerful than the things that you guys think of as kind of your top tier, the gods and Baba Yaga and Nash, that there is something out there that is kind of there in the sense of John Wick, their Baba Yaga.
Boof. Okay.
We learned the solution to three riddles, and that can never be taken away from us.
You did. And did we learn something new and important about one of the hunters? I think in the last couple moments there with Baba Yaga, we learned something about Tass. That feeling of, you know, when he said, no one's been teaching us, no one's been showing us the way. This idea that the hunters know what they're supposed to be doing. So I think hearing that from Tass is certainly something new. The idea that we should be being taught how to do this, someone should be showing us the ropes, and we're kind of out here on the front lines alone, is something I think new and dynamic.
I'll take that experience.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue against you.
Yeah, I mean, me as a listener, that's, I think that's new. So yeah, you guys still get 2 points of experience.
Root.
And then everybody gets 6 gear points. Did anybody level up from that?
I did.
What are you going to take?
I am going to go ahead, and this is based off of something that happened in one of the previous episodes, wherein Jake picked up Jingles,
uh-huh,
and it sparked an idea in me. There's an option for me to get a robot minion.
Oh, my.
And I'm going to fix
God
Jingles up with, like, he's not going to be like 100% like, you know, smooth skin Jingles or anything like that. He's going to have like a robotic arm that's got like tools and shit on it. And
okay, so I think for God, I think for your, what is this called? It's a robot minion.
Yeah.
Okay, so the same question that I asked Jake then, instead of do you want it to heal or do you want it to do damage, do you want it to do damage or do you want it to assist you in your lab work?
I want him to do damage.
I love battle Jingles so much.
So instead of a utility arm with like a bunch of tools, it'll be like
Cyborg's arm.
Yeah, so describe to me, how does battle Jingles
suck on this, nerd.
How does battle Jingles do damage?
I think he has a power claw, which is an actual like science guy weapon. I don't know if like if you can make that for his size. So instead of doing 3 damage, he does maybe 2 or 1 damage or something.
Yeah, I think this endeavor will cost you a couple gear points. Let's say 2, and you can make battle Jingles, and he will have a power arm that does 2 damage. What does this power arm look like? Or power claw, I guess it is.
Okay, so he's got his regular hand, which I just imagine as like this, you know, this short, almost like baby hand almost. And then he's got, if any of you have ever played the video game Bionic Commando, the character in that has like one regular arm and then this massive claw like thing. It is just this enormous robotic thing. So that's what's happening with him.
All right. So yeah, that'll be 2 gear points and you will be able to create battle Jingles, which is the strangest thing I think I've said so far.
And he'll come along on our adventures and we'll have fun.
I didn't level up strictly, but we did come to some more decisions on the chosen sheet.
Yes, that's true. So Tass has 2 tags. He has heroic tags and he has doom tags. Explain to everybody how those work.
So essentially, it's kind of a tool for you to get to play with and then, you know, for me to take opportunities with. So there's this big list and then you select what you think, you know, just works best for the character. And then if those things happen, if there are certain things that can trigger you know, effects from these specific tags, then that will have effects on me, such as there's a move that I'll be able to take that if I essentially invoke these tags, then I'll get experience from them. And there's just, you know, other things like that. So they should just sort of pop up based on the lore of the chosen that's established.
Don't they automatically happen too when you spend a point of luck?
So yeah, the big thing there is that when you spend a point of luck, they definitely happen. So while it is a tool for you to play with in general, I have to keep in mind that if I'm going to spend a point of luck for anything, those are going to hit me.
So what are your heroic tags?
The heroic would be visions and mystical inheritance.
And so we picked those because you've already been getting visions from Lana, and then mystical inheritance, of course, because of the spear. And then what are your doom tags?
The doom tags would be a nemesis, which makes complete sense in this. He literally is trying to get my soul.
Yep.
And then doubt, which I really like, just based on all of this failure that has led to this. And am I even worthy? And I didn't technically earn this. Well, I earned it, but not really. And I think doubt is a huge thing that is going to need to be overcome.
Yeah, I think that's a good pull from the story thus far. Okay, so is there any other shopping that anybody's going
to
do?
Well, I need to spend at least 4 points to charge my goggles back up.
Okay, does that get you to full?
That does, yes.
Okay.
I'm going to buy a 3-for-5 pack of werewolf serum, but I'm going to hand them off to TJ again.
Okay.
Because you've been doing a pretty good job of doling them out when necessary.
Thanks.
And I believe we're all putting in orders for our shape-shifting law enforcement badges, right?
That's correct.
Which we talked about, like, end of arc 1?
Yeah.
Or no, end of Hawaii, because he asked for our ID. And we were like, Photoshop, like we didn't have anything. So it took us this long to realize to get shapeshifter DNA to bring back and have made into it.
Yeah. And I think that because you guys had talked about it that long ago, and the fact that Tass turned that material in before this story arc started, I think that those would be ready. I think that they made those before shit hit the fan at IPT.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you.
Anybody else buying anything?
Yeah. I am going to go ahead and grab some ammo for my various guns.
Actually, one of our listeners wrote in asking about, you know, our gear system, and they made a suggestion that I really like, and so I'm going to make this change. So in the past, you had to essentially spend a point to get a certain type of bullet, if it was cold iron or silver or whatever, and you had to do it per gun, and you would have it for that adventure, and then it was gone. So their suggestion was that, well, what if he bought bullets, and they were kind of a one-use thing that you could use them for that battle, and then they were gone, so that you can go in and buy 2 things of silver bullets and have them for 5-6 story arcs. They don't reset, because you don't know what you're coming up against, so it seems kind of strange to have to guess what kind of bullets you might need. So any bullets that you have bought in the past, if you can remember them, you still have in stock, and then you can buy additional ones now.
Awesome. So with that in mind, I technically already had silver for the 38, and I had salt for the shotguns.
Yeah.
And I'm sure I'd done something else, but I don't remember what, and I feel like I'm not even going to worry about the stuff that I didn't have marked down.
Okay.
So, you know, I'm going to just be upfront and buy them. So I wanted to do cold iron for a gun that I had purchased and literally haven't used yet.
Yeah.
Because I forgot that I ever even purchased it. And so yeah, I still have that medium range submachine gun that I had custom ordered.
Yes.
So I'm going to get cold iron for that.
Okay.
And another thing that I wanted to ask you about is essentially, like, is there a way to add like a magic tag for a bullet?
Yeah, I think that you can. You can get an arcane bullet. I think those will cost 2.
Okay.
Unless you get someone else involved, I think that that would only work for the guns that have actual bullets. I don't think you could do that for the shotgun unless you get someone else involved.
Sure. Yeah, I like that anyway. I thought that would be a good one for the sniper rifle. So I will spend 2 on that, which leads me to my last thing that I kind of want to do, because at this point I am a walking arsenal. I've got all these different guns. I still have the anti-light rifle somewhere. And now I have a spear.
Yeah.
So I was hoping I could do essentially like a rig that I could carry on my back, like a backpack type rig that has slots for the guns. And it'd be something that, like, yeah, sure, maybe all the 3 rifle type guns would be all attached to one set, and then a belt would have a hip slot for the pistol, and then maybe a thigh slot for the submachine gun.
Okay.
Just, yeah.
So how many slots do you need in total?
So I guess technically six.
Oh, because the two handguns, yeah. And then the spear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so let's say three gear points, and it kind of makes you a Master Chief rig where you can just click things onto your back and your side.
It's all magnets.
Yeah, it is, yeah. I love that. And yeah, it's clearly not going to be low key. Battle rig for sure.
This is definitely something that if you use on a daily basis, people are going to be like, hey, how are you? Could we walk you through the scanner, please?
I feel if I had made this rig for you, it would have like little train tracks going all over your body, and it would just be like choo choo, and then this like just gun would be crawling up your arm to your
hand.
Gun
to his hand.
Yeah.
Which gun lives in the Bjorn on the front?
That's the anti-light rifle.
It's where he keeps the grenades.
Oh, I forgot.
Oh,
I should buy a few grenades, too.
I brought that on myself.
Yep. Yeah, gonna do that. So okay. I'll add that to my point list.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about the adventure itself. I do want to point out, actually, before we start talking about the story, for anybody who is out there who keeps diligent track of what's going on, and I know that there are people out there who do it, you'll notice that in, I believe, the last episode, that at one point we talk about Jake's damage, and he is at 4, and then later he heals 5. That was because after the fact, we realized that Jake was unstable when he threw the knight into the air, and so that would have given him 1 point of damage. So I gave that to him retroactively, but somehow I got left out of the cut of that episode, so that is why he jumped up a point of damage there, was he took one for pushing his no limits while he was unstable. So the story itself, you know, I've talked about in the past that there's never any way to know what's going to happen in a story, and that you guys do things that I never expect. My jaw fell open when TJ was like, yeah, I'm going to inject this man with werewolf serum, because that just changed the whole world. I'm really jazzed about this. I've talked a lot about how it's the things that you guys do, it's the decisions you make that really create the world and the story that's happening. You guys have essentially added a whole new chapter by that one decision, and so I'm really interested to see how that kind of pans out. And it made for a very tense final conversation with Baba Yaga, which is something kind of different for us. It was very heated on all sides, which is kind of scary and fun. And where is it going to push you guys to next?
I feel like a lot of like the sort of hints or clues that you give us as we're interacting with characters, I see those and I'm like, we should probably grab onto those as soon as possible. So when you started talking about like how his mouth is moving without like making sounds or whatever it was, I was like, he needs to talk. He needs to say something. We need information. I don't know what that information is. I have werewolf serum. I'll heal him. Maybe he'll be able to talk and maybe he'll be grateful for it. Maybe that's all he wanted.
He was very grateful.
Yeah.
That was ominous AF.
Yeah, because it's interesting from the very beginning, you know, listening back when I edit, you guys talk at one point about, you know, challenging the knight and like, oh, you know what? Maybe this challenge thing is fabricated. Maybe this is just something we came up with. Let's just go kick his ass. And you can actually go back and track at one point, you know, Baba Yaga talks to you guys right when you first show up. And she's like, yeah, to get the spear, you have to do this task. And then it telephoned. Jake said to Tass, hey, you have to do this test. And then Tass started repeating, I have to do this trial. And so suddenly every step it escalated. And so everybody had a different perspective of how it had to be done and what had to be done compared to what she had started out with. And so that really kind of shaped the whole adventure. The idea that originally she had said, yeah, you have to do this task for me, to I have to complete this trial. And so do you guys have any thoughts about that? Like, does that word change do anything to you in the sense of like, oh, how we might have gone about it? Or
there was a point very quickly where we sort of realized what we had done as players, but went, nope, this is what we are doing. This is what we've convinced ourselves of. And I liked at that point making it stick. I liked that idea of, you know, this is exactly what we think needs to happen. And now I'm all in on it. And yeah. So I just, yeah, as the player halfway through and going, how did we get to this? I love that. I love that stuff.
I was really impressed with how quickly you guys solved those riddles.
Oh, thanks, man.
Like, I thought this is going to be a minute. But man, two of those you guys just tore right through. And the third one you guys answered as soon as you actually saw the thing.
That's because we love riddles.
We do.
Yeah, that's true. For being a bunch of dummies in a lot of instances, we all are kind of puzzle masters.
Yeah, and different styles, like the different types of riddles.
Sure.
Like one person was always kind of left out, like, I don't understand. And the other two people were hot on it, and then it kept changing who the two people were for each type of riddle.
Yeah, the, God, what was it? The pot would have taken me a long time to get on my own, but the second I started reading the one about blue, it's like, this is a word riddle. I just got to flip the letters around.
Yeah.
It's just, I can see that. But right. The other stuff, I'm like, what? I don't know.
I thought we were going to go down a path of you guys talking yourselves into everything being right for that first riddle as you came across them with the ring. And then, you know, you guys only came across the ring in the first place. But you're like, yeah, no, this makes sense. I think this is it. Well, let's go to the next thing. Oh, yeah, you know what? I think this is it.
I was so happy when both of them, when like they kind of made sense. I've hoped the same thing. I was like, I hope we keep going and seeing shit and rationalizing how it fits in the riddle.
Yeah, so definitely a lot of interesting directions to go from here. This confrontation with Baba Yaga and getting the spear. You know, we recorded that a little bit ago and we've all kind of walked away now. Do you guys have any thoughts about this confrontation, this interaction with her, of what she was saying versus how you guys felt at the time? Or
I mean, I think I have absolutely taken stock of what she said and agree with her. And I'm probably going to try to start sticking to my shit some more. Like, I don't think we're wrong, but I think she presented the correct values to uphold. Like, I absolutely believe everything we said. Like, we are doing our best. We are being pragmatic.
Mm-hmm.
We are doing whatever is necessary. And she's like, yeah, but it's not always about what's necessary. It's about what's right.
Yeah.
And that was kind of, I mean, that was where I began.
Yeah.
And just going through a whole bunch of shit will gray you out. And I feel like that was kind of a kick in the ass.
And I think, too, it brings back, you know, we talked about this. It was a long time ago. We talked about it in the first episode. Then we talked about it again, like 20 episodes later. But that connection with you and Tass, that your task with him was to, what exactly is your connection say? Do you have it still?
Yeah, I do. They are at heart a good and righteous person. You must help them stay that way.
Yeah. And so we've seen Tass, you know, throughout the course of this story start to go down this darker and darker path, that every means starts to be justified by this possible end. And to see it instead of you kind of keeping him, it seems like it was kind of going the other way. And so for Baba Yaga to point that out in the conversation, it was even interesting in the moment to watch all of you like take stock of what she said in the moment and go, all right. But anybody else?
Well, I had an interesting point of view up top. So,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah. Blew my mind when you were still in her house and be like, hey, guys, should we kill her now?
I tried so hard to damage control several things in this arc.
And, you did.
And you guys.
Oh, yeah, we were driving back from LodgeCon and I was doing an edit on this episode and I just started cackling in the back seat and Jake was like, what? I was like, I'm at minute 9 of this episode and here's the point where it took a turn where you can hear Tass go, yeah, so I think I'm going to make a deal with this guy and got to let him loose. And Jake's like, I think it's a bad idea to betray Baba Yaga. And then over the course of the next minute, Tass talks Jake into, no, this is a good idea. Let's betray Baba Yaga, the keeper of the Chosen's weapon. And I was like, it's all downhill from here.
And you know what? Tass has done that to me many a time. He
in
is
in real
like,
life constantly.
He is a rabble rouser. He rouses rabbles.
Yeah. Well, and I think that, like I said, I never know exactly what's going to happen and what NPCs are going to do, what they're going to say, because it's a lot of it is response to what you guys say to them. And so I had a whole laundry list of things that she might talk about. But a great example of that is Rachel, that you had said, no, we have to save her. I feel bad I was in this position. And then Tass went, yeah, no, you're totally right. Let's kill her. I think you're right. We should kill her. And convinced you that killing her was your idea.
I did.
And it was another example of, this is going to be too difficult. Let's take the easier route and just deal with it.
I'm getting so mad at Tass right now.
I want
no.
this.
Never again.
Yeah, I think there at the end, just anything I said to her was frustration with in-game myself. You know, it's just this, I felt like I was raging at her because I can't find the right answer.
Mm.
You know, it just seems like we get close or we get some of the information or whatever it is, and it's just me feeling incompetent in this world and saying, why can't you just tell me how to do this? And of course, that's not how it works.
Right.
But, you know, that's what a person wants. You yeah. want the answers. And it was just this breakdown. And so, yeah, it was. It was a solid kick in the ass. It was, yeah, it was a good moment to have with her. I liked that.
All right. Well, unless anyone has anything else, I think that is the end of our time in the Russian woods.
Strange happenings are occurring in the world of Exandria. Slayed creatures and beasts from days of yore are returning to the land of the living, and it's up to a band of unlikely heroes to re-slay them. Welcome to the Re-Slayer's Take.
Join Jasmine Bular, Jasmine Chung, Jasper Cartwright, and Caroline Lux alongside Game Masters Nick Williams and me, George Primavera, in this Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition role-playing adventure through Critical Role's fantasy world of Exandria. But don't worry, you won't need to know the rules to follow this story. All you need to know is that nothing the players do is scripted or planned, and their fates are determined by their own cleverness and the roll of a 20-sided die.
So what the heck are you waiting for? Adventure awaits in the Re-Slayer's Take.
New episodes drop weekly on Mondays wherever you stream your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Yusuf Dahl, and when I was 18, I was convicted of selling drugs. For the past 3 years, I've had difficulty finding housing because it is legal in the United States to discriminate against individuals that have a past drug distribution conviction on their record for life. It doesn't matter if it was a hard drug like heroin or a drug that's now legal or partially legal in many states across the country, like marijuana. The Thurman Amendment was introduced to the Fair Housing Act in 1988 by segregationist Strom Thurmond, and it's since been used to deny housing to all people. But because people of color are disproportionately jailed for drug charges, we are affected more. My goal is to overturn this amendment to start an end to housing discrimination that unfairly targets people of color. If you would like to join this movement, please visit ThurmanAmendment.org to learn more.
A message from the Fable and Folly Network.
So it is about an hour and a half later. You have left the IPT with six dossiers in your hand. Margaret has told you about some of the things that were going on that she hopes you guys will be able to check out. And you head back to Tass and TJ's place. And when you get there, the door is broken and it is ajar.
Oh, I want to flip on my sight and see if I can see anything invisible or magical influences.
Oh, the thing that you notice actually is that all of the magic from your wards is down.
Okay, the wards are down and I'm going to get the spear out.
How much hallway is there between your front door and living quarters that you just went, okay, the wards are down?
I forgot that the listening audience can't see that was in sign language.
Add all that tactical SWAT sign language you guys yep. use all the time. Mm-hmm.
Tass had his whisper antlers on.
Yes.
So. Oh, he had quiet coyotes showing.
Quiet coyotes. Yeah, that's what I use.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to pull my hammer out and I'm going to stay at the front. Still, like, I'm gonna step in front of you and try and move in quietly, but I want to stay in the front because I don't know what you can do yet.
Me either.
So Jake starts to move into the apartment, and the first thing that you notice is there is a very large sniper rifle laying across the couch and a shotgun on the coffee table.
Okay, this brings back some memories. I'm gonna keep trying to creep up, like peek around corners, see if I can see who they belong to.
You hear some rustling in the kitchen.
Can I very gingerly peek my head around the corner to see who's in the kitchen?
You peek around the corner and there is a slender middle-aged woman rummaging through the cabinet. She's about 5'7", has black hair with cords of white running through it, and she's wearing a long coat. And she pulls a bag of Oreos out of the cabinet, turns and sees you, and starts to walk past you into the living room. Sits down on the chair, pulls an Oreo out, cracks it in half, and drags her fingernail through the cream and starts to suck on it off of her fingernail.
I mean, she just kind of pays me no mind.
Yeah.
I'm going to go towards the guns and kind of grab them and toss them a little further out of her reach.
I think when you start to approach them, you know how to handle those.
I point and click?
No, I mean warded guns.
No.
Yeah, I wouldn't touch them.
I think I'm poking my head in the doorway like, it's happening.
And you see this late 50s woman sitting in one of your recliners with your Oreos, and she's just got one broken in half, and she's kind of licking the cream out of it and just watching Jake as Jake stands in front of her weapons that are on your couch and your coffee table.
What the f... Oh. I think I'm going to shoulder the spear and walk in.
She indicates the spear on your back. You got it.
Yeah, you recognize this, don't you?
Yeah.
Truly, my condolences.
Yeah, thanks.
Is it clear, guys? Are we good?
Yeah, I think we're good.
Great. I'm going to walk on in, see the lady, and tilt my head to the right.
Yeah, I feel like I'm confused.
Am I missing something?
Yeah, I'm looking at Tass and her, and they have rapport.
Chemistry,
and I'm confused because I think I know who this is, and you seem to know who this is. So I'm like, do you know who this is?
Yeah, Jake, I think you're looking at your predecessor.
Ding, ding. And she throws you a cookie.
I'm just going to look at her and go, you shot me.
Yeah, but I knew you'd survive it. And to be fair, you tried to hit me with my old hammer.
You tried to shoot us.
No, if I tried to shoot you, he'd be dead. I was trying to direct you.
I'm very confused still now.
This is the invisible person from the roof who shot at us with a sniper rifle, rigged explosives on a door, and blasted us with a shotgun, and the previous divine.
She throws you a cookie.
I catch it deftly, and I eat it whole.
Swallow whole, even. Power
just,
move.
Just sideways in your esophagus.
So you're Anastasia?
Yeah.
And I hold my hand out like I'm ready to catch a cookie?
She looks at the three of you, and she kind of sighs, and then she throws one.
Yes!
These are my cookies. Actually, Rev gave me those cookies.
I'm glad to see you. I've been trying to get in touch with you for a while.
Yeah.
But what are you doing here now? Just because we've got the spear?
Yeah, well, I mean, she told me when you guys had finished.
Who had told you?
Yaga.
Yaga. Just on, nickname basis.
I mean, when you've known someone for as long as I've known her.
Well, what can we do you for?
You were trying to find me. What can I do for you?
I mean, at the time, we kind of needed information and guidance, and not to say that we don't still. It's probably just different information and guidance that we need. Yeah, I guess we should just settle in and have a chat here, huh?
Yeah, I think so.
And she gets up and walks back towards the fridge and pulls a few things out and starts to make a sandwich. Fire away.
Okay, just out of curiosity, where you been?
Well, I was trying to infiltrate Nash's organization, but, well, I kind of got blown when you broadcast that I was still alive. I'd convinced him I was dead, and then it got announced that the previous divine was still alive, and he got kind of jumpy and started having everyone in his organization checked by psychics. And that's something I don't have a defense against, so I had to duck and run.
Shit. Okay, I mean, let's just talk about what the hell was going on from just square one back at the Halifax. You said you're trying to guide us. What do you mean? Where were you trying to get us to?
Oh, just away from the cops.
Well, okay. I guess it worked.
Yeah, they were right down that alley.
Well, you obviously were there for a reason. Do you know more specifically what was going on in those circles?
Yeah, I was performing magic.
You were?
Yeah.
Wait, what?
I was performing magic?
So the thing at the Halifax, that was you?
Yeah.
And the other three circles? Or the other, I guess, technically two around the center?
Yeah.
You did all of that?
I mean, it took a while, but...
What?
What? How do you think I infiltrated Nash's organization? And she shimmers, and she looks like a man in his early 20s with blonde hair. And then she changes back.
Oh, shit! We thought, because he... Hawaii in the circles.
Yeah, I stole it from him.
Well, shit. I was going to say sorry, but I guess we didn't really mess it up for you, did we?
No, not really.
So you absorbed the powers from the three things?
Yeah.
One of them was a shapeshifter. One of them was a soul bat.
Mm-hmm.
What was the third one?
The third one was an invisible man.
Okay, that makes sense. You're invisible.
Oh my God.
What'd you use the soul bat powers for?
Oh, I use it to feed off of negative energy. That way I don't have to eat or sleep. Got to make it look like you're a vampire somehow.
Wow, that's good. That's really good. And we boned that. We ruined that for you, didn't we?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, I'm just starting to come to the conclusion that there's no way around Nash.
Well, there's gonna be. There's got to be a way around this, not around it. There's got to be a way through him. That's kind of what we're looking for here. And, I mean, my God, if you've been that close, anything. We've been in the dark for so long on so many things. Anything you can give us, I need to know how we can get close to him, how we can do anything.
Oh,
my God.
Oh, wait. I don't want you to get the wrong idea. I didn't lead you to that spear because I think you can kill Nash. I led you to that spear because when it's connected to somebody, he can't track it or you.
Oh.
Like, he knew where it was with Yaga. It was only a matter of time. But at least in your hands, he can't track it, or you anymore.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. Okay. Thanks for that.
Yeah. So essentially, it's a game of keep away until you die. And then hopefully I can get the spear again and get it to whoever's next. And it's just a matter of keep away for, well, forever, hopefully.
Wait. So that's the plan? That's your plan, is just let him keep attempting to wreck the universe?
If you got a better one, I'm glad to hear it, but I've already lost one chosen and lost my divinity trying to stop him.
I think I'm going to sit down at that. Like, that's a lot to take in and process. I think I'm reeling a little here.
So you've just given up on the idea of fighting him whole cloth?
Well, I feel like I had my best chance being inside his organization, and even then I didn't get close to him. I mean, it had been better part of 5 years.
I mean, as far as getting close to him, we kind of have the bait now, right? We've got the chosen that he wants. It seems like literally getting close to him shouldn't be hard. It's extraordinarily dangerous, but we've got a good way to get close to him now.
Yeah, what are you going to do when you get close to him?
I think that's the part that remains to be discussed, but we've got a chosen, we've got a divine, we've got a science guy, we've got you, who is clearly still able. We've got resources and friends. I mean, I think we could formulate a plan. We've got numbers. And worst case, if we have sort of a contingency plan to get the chosen back out of there, you know, I'm willing to try and die in the hopes that it weakens him or kills him.
That's not worst case. Worst case is he gets this guy's soul. Your worst case scenario is you dying. My worst case scenario is the world dying.
No, my worst case scenario isn't me dying, but that is a scenario I'm willing to put forth in an attempt on Nash. I think if we have a contingency plan to get the chosen out of there, or, I mean, never bring him. I know that you would hate that, but...
Yeah, I'm wholly against that.
You know, if you want to play keep away with the chosen, absolutely, we could have a plan to keep him away, but I don't think we just shouldn't try to hurt him.
I don't know. I don't know what the answer is yet, but you can kill anything. You just have to have the right tool, and we have to figure out what that is. What is the combination to do this? So if part of that is just keep away until we get that information, that's fine. But I'm going to spend every minute that I'm awake figuring out how to kill this motherfucker.
You talk like you're the only person who's had that idea, kid. He killed my wife. You don't think I didn't spend the last 40 years scouring this planet for the things to kill him? You guys been doing this, what, 6 months, a year? Don't sound like the freshman class. Don't try to sacrifice yourselves to save the world. Save the fucking world.
But we're not saving it. We're prolonging its death.
Yeah, well, sometimes that's how you live.
Maybe, but that's not the choice I'm making.
Maybe I made the wrong choice. She finishes her sandwich and starts to put things back into the fridge.
Now, hold on. And as I say this, I take the food that she's gotten out and I...
As soon as you get close to her, she grabs your wrist.
And then I stop moving and then I say, I've got a point to make, I promise. You said that you and the chosen from before were the only ones to fight, right? The only two fighting against Nash before, right?
Yeah.
Well, you didn't have a science guy with you, that's why.
Are you fucking serious? Are you willing to bet the world on whatever the science guy means?
I am, because here's what's a little different, I think, from your stint at it. Jake is not here to protect me.
She leans back on the counter. What do you mean?
It's him.
The whole reason that I was given these powers is to protect him because, well, whatever he's going to do is going to save the universe.
Huh.
Is she still holding my wrist?
She is.
Okay.
And she starts to examine your arm and she just kind of starts to inspect you in general.
He has literally saved our lives countless times because of what he can do.
She drops your wrist, TJ. So what do you know about him? Do you know anything? What he's supposed to do? What is he close? Is he far away?
I mean, it's been kept kind of vague, but he's still on track and he's close.
Look, I wish I had more detail for you, but I just know it. I know that's what we're here to do. We're here to end this. I don't feel it. I don't hope it. I know it. I don't know that we're going to do it, but I know that's what we are supposed to do. So either help us find the way to do it or piss off.
Oh, yeah, all right. So what do you want to know?
Can you hold a magic spell for about a week?
No. Why?
I need someone who can.
For what?
I'm going to open a portal to another dimension.
You're gonna
what?
I'm going to open a portal to another dimension.
Yeah, but we lost the North Pole. We lost Noelle. We don't have the things we need to... rebuild the teleporter.
We don't need Noelle. I can build the teleporter myself. I know what we need. The spell components. We need something from a different dimension. We need someone who can do a week-long spell to jumpstart the whole thing. And then we need someone to be able to activate it. And then we just need the ring.
Holy shit. You can really do this?
Yeah. Yes, I can.
What can you tell me about that? The other dimensions, like, what are they like?
Oh, well, we've been to one.
What was it like?
Well, it was a lot like ours, except for the fact that it was a giant tree and there were fairy people there, and also
magic was much, much stronger.
There was a lot of magic.
How is it like ours?
There was air and gravity.
And a hierarchy of peoples, I guess.
And also
some sort of government.
There are fantastical things there, just like in our world.
I honestly don't know where he's going with this, but yeah, he's got it. He knows how to do this, and that's something that Nash took. He took the foundation, essentially, of how that can be done.
Shit. And she sets the sandwich down, pulls out a notebook from her pocket, and starts to flip through it. In some of the communications that I was able to intercept between Nash's officers, they kept referring to people, two people in particular, by number that Nash was communicating with. And I thought that I might have an idea of what it meant, but it's just numbers. He referred to one as 613 and one as 342.
TJ, what were the numbers that were in the room, in Noelle's transport room? Isn't 342 the one that your grandpa went to?
Yeah, it sure is.
So they are other worlds.
Wait, you label other worlds by number?
Well, not me, my grandpa did, but I mean, wouldn't you? It's totally a lot easier to get everything all organized that way.
Okay, so, and she starts to flip through the notebook. This is not my notebook, this was Lana's, and she had these three numbers highlighted, 613, 342, and 011, and I thought maybe I could figure out what they meant. But if they're places...
So he's communicating with somebody in these other universes that are helping him in some way.
So when you went to these other places, were the same people there?
Like copies of us?
Yeah.
I mean, if there were, we didn't meet anybody like that.
Huh.
But that doesn't, you know, preclude that we don't exist in other worlds just as different people.
Yeah, these people were essentially a different... I mean, they were literally sprites. So kind of a different species. Again, I don't know that matters. There could still be the sprite version of us, but we sure didn't see it.
What about here? Were the people you met there here?
Is there a role I could use to be like, to make a connection there? To see like, I don't know, if anybody there suddenly it feels like, oh, obviously that was,
oh,
you know,
now
Jeff
that you mention
and,
it, and there's a lab tech named Ferguson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Long beard.
Like if it's just not the case, then that's fine.
I don't think it is anybody in your... If this was the case, I don't think it's anybody in your immediate sphere.
Sure. Okay. I don't think so. If there was anybody like that, we sure didn't notice them.
I just, I guess in the time that I've studied him, I haven't really found anybody that Nash trusts or listens to except Nash. What are the odds that there's a him in these other worlds?
I don't love that. Don't love that train of thought at all.
I mean, if the multiverse theory holds any water, then yeah, somewhere out there are worlds that are just like ours, save for one tiny difference. He might have just tapped into a couple of them.
Okay, well, if we're going to go with that, and if TJ can actually recreate this, my thought is, let's get a whole bunch of us and go whoop his ass.
I love it. I wonder if 011 is our world. If you've only heard him refer to the other two, maybe those are kind of the other two Nashes he's working with, and 011 is him.
Guess it's possible.
Which is a scary thought, because that might mean that our Nash will want you eventually.
Well, can't have me.
That's the spirit. Bully for you.
Thanks.
Okay, well, we've got kind of a long-term goal. Unless anybody has anything else we want to sort out at the moment, we need to get some rest, and we definitely need to go over this list and see if we can save some of our people before we get going elsewhere.
She wraps the sandwich in a piece of paper towel, tucks it into her pocket, and looks at you, TJ. Get to work on that teleporter thing.
Will do.
She walks back into the living room and starts to restrap her gear on.
Should we, like, exchange numbers or something?
Oh, God, I don't carry a phone.
Okay.
Do you have a place to crash around here?
Not here.
What does that mean? Not here, like, not Indianapolis?
Yeah, well, not in the United States.
do you want to crash here, or are you just bouncing?
Yeah, no, I'm going. If Nash can't track you because you've got that now, I'd hate to be the reason he finds you.
Okay, well, you know where to find us.
Is there any way we can contact you besides lighting up the media to get your attention?
I don't know. You got shit. You said you're some kind of a tech magician. Can you make something?
Of course I can.
Okay, what is it?
It's a machine that obviously cannot be tracked. It's just going to be a simple button on a little pad. And all it is whenever we press a button, it lights up and lets the person on the other side know that we're ready for them or whatever.
Is it two ways? Could she press a button to notify us?
Absolutely.
All right, roll it.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Snake eyes. Except I'm going to use luck because this seems quite important.
Okay. Honestly. How many luck are you at now?
I am at 4 luck left.
Oh, boy.
All right. So what is your requirement?
It will take a bit of time to get it working.
Yeah. All right. I'll check back with you in like 2 weeks then. I don't like to let grass grow under my feet, if you know what I mean.
I don't know what you mean, but I think I get the metaphor.
Before you go, so you said he can't be tracked now because he has the spear.
Yeah.
Can we be tracked? Are we being tracked?
Yes, and I don't know.
How are we tracked?
She shrugs. Magic.
That sucks because it kind of means that it's irrelevant if you're hidden. The three of us are always together. So if he can find one of us, he can find all of us. But I guess that could maybe ultimately work to our advantage because if he assumes you're always with us and you're not, we might get the element of surprise.
In your dealings, especially recently, do you know Ori?
I don't know him, but I've heard of him.
Okay. He's been helping us out, sort of from the inside. And we're just essentially constantly worried that he is in danger, and just thought I'd ask if you had any idea if anybody was on to him or if anything had happened recently with him.
I mean, I can't say recently. I had to bug out about 2 months ago when the news went out about me being alive.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate it.
And so she has finished strapping on her gear, and she starts to make for the door, and she starts to turn invisible.
One more thing before you go.
And you see that the door doesn't open all the way.
The man who died at the Halifax.
Michael.
You killed him.
Yeah.
Why him?
Did you check the body?
No.
He was a vampire, trying to work his way into the IPT.
Oh, shit.
We should probably let Margaret know to run more thorough checks on the staff at IPT.
Yeah, just go around with a silver fly swatter and start smacking people in the face or something. Like, good God. That makes just every kind of sense, though, not being able to find the body and just on and on. Oh, boy.
Okay. Just wanted to ask. We just got a earful from Yaga about dubious ethics and whatnot.
The door opens the rest of the way. Oh, yeah, she thinks you can't save the world if you aren't making it a better place.
I like you.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't follow in my footsteps, kid. My way of thinking got my divinity stripped away, and it cost Lana her life. And there's a silence, and then the door shuts.
Oof.
All right, so what do you guys want to do now?
Well, I mean, I'm still super paranoid about them being able to be scried upon, so I don't think it would hurt us to try to figure something out there.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we should pay a visit to Rev, because he's the magic guy, and we could probably use some kind of counter magic to not be seen. And if you need someone who can do the spell work for the dimensional hopping, he might know something about that, too.
Oh, yeah.
Good call. And then we might also bring him like a steak or something, because I'm sure he's been just chilling out.
Yeah, we'll bring
all
him
alone
nice
in
treat.
My.
All right. So you guys are going to head over to TJ's secret lair. Jake, you know what to do.
Oh, God. Big money, no whammies. 12.
Excellent. Woohoo! You guys all appear inside of TJ's secret lair. And Rev is there. He's reading over an old book.
He's doing push-ups with his feet on the bed like he's in prison. He's super shredded.
He's got a teardrop tattoo.
What gang did you join from in here?
Who did you murder?
We don't talk about it.
I killed a sanitation worker. He snuck in on me. Thought it was a vampire.
Hey, buddy.
How's it going?
Not too bad. And I hand him the delicious steak we obviously bought along the way.
Thanks. And he just holds the dripping raw steak.
Yeah.
There's no stovetop or anything down
yeah,
here,
nope.
So
he throws it to his pet crocodile.
I love the visual that this is just in the sewer outright.
It is straight up like the Ninja Turtles base.
How's it been down here? You been doing okay?
Yeah, it seems it's all right. I missed the sun.
He says with a twitch in his eye.
Well, I mean, I think we're getting close to being safe again here, I think. We've got some new leads. We've got some new stuff we can do. Hopefully, it won't be too long before we wrap this up and you're in the clear. We're all in the clear.
Oh, you're going to kill Strom?
No.
Oh.
Maybe.
Oh.
We do need something that she has, theoretically. We need something from another dimension, and she's got a thing from another dimension. Or we just have to cut another deal with her, which I hate.
I've got a thing from another dimension.
What?
He pulls out the necklace you guys gave him. The thing we were going to auction off back when we were going to do the heist.
Oh, boy.
Yes.
That slipped my mind. Okay, well, then we don't need that. TJ, do you want to break down why we need the thing from another dimension?
Check it. All right. So.
He's organized it into a delightful rap for you.
So, if you go downtown, you will find... I don't know, nothing. It turns out that Noelle got taken, and our ability to teleport to other dimensions was taken with her. I, however, have figured it out, how to do it without Noelle. And I need something from another dimension, and we also need your circle.
No.
Which we brought over. So that's like two out of four things right there, guys. And then how long can you hold a magic spell?
I don't know. Why? And I think that just out of character, probably you're going to give him all of the notes that you found. Because I assume us trying to explain how these spells work is going to make all of us shit our collective pants. you give him all of the notes that you got in that, you know, week that you studied Noelle. Yeah, I think that this is something that I could write. You don't have to hold the spell, but it does take a week to cast the spell. So it's kind of like a meditation thing. But yeah, I think I could figure this out. He seems pretty jazzed about it.
Baller.
We have one other problem.
Yeah.
We can be tracked by Nash, and Tass can't anymore because he's got his artifact now. But TJ and I still can. And maybe you... I mean, I know that this place is off the grid, but I don't know if it's off the grid to, like, spying magic.
Oh, yeah. That was the first thing I did when I got here is I re-put up all of my wards.
Is there any sort of...
Nice.
With the exception of the teleportation one, so you could, you know, get here.
Oh, thank you. Is there any sort of portable ward that, like, me and TJ could have on us or carry with us that can stop us from being tracked?
Yeah, actually. Let me see if I can make it for you.
Let me roll use magic.
Please be a neck tattoo. Please be a neck tattoo.
He goes over to the circle and he places two stones inside of it. And he kind of mutters for a couple seconds and some blue energy jumps from the perimeter of the circle into the stones and he hands them to you. I got a 11.
Woo!
Now, how do you think this interacts with my sort of extra dimensional space? If it's in there, is it not protecting me anymore?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, keep it on your person, even when you sleep. Like, don't have it near you. It's got to be making contact with you.
Yeah, just put it in your cheek like a chipmunk.
Or I could cut open your forearm and we could put it inside and then stitch it closed.
I hate that.
And then we have like these big lumps in our forearms.
Like the piece of your skull that we talked about the other day.
Yeah, really digging into the body horror here.
Yeah.
I put it in like my breast pocket under the armor.
And I put mine in my pocket of my pants.
Okay, so what do you guys want to do? Now, do you want to go through the dossiers and try to decide what direction you're going to go?
Yeah, I think we should.
So you guys spread out the dossiers onto the table here, and there are six of them. In Northern Kentucky, there are deer hunters that keep going missing. There's a stretch of US 30 that IPT vehicles keep getting attacked. In Tennessee, in the Smoky Mountains, a class of third graders have gone missing. In southern Illinois, there is a three-city area where graves keep getting robbed. In northern Indiana, there is a toy store where three murders have occurred. And on the west side of Indy, there is an area where cars keep driving off of a bridge. And these are all places where she had sent one or two people, or they had just gotten information about and were getting ready to send people out. So where do you guys want to go first? What do you want to deal with?
I don't love the idea of kids being in danger, so I'm inclined to want to check out the Smoky Mountains.
Yeah, I mean, I would have said one of the two that concern actively missing people.
All right, so you guys are going to go after the children who are lost in Tennessee. So roll your beginning of adventure moves.
Let's see if this will go right for me for once.
I'm excited about.
I know you get to roll something
fun thing.
13.
All right, that's a 10.
All right, so with yours, you get a vision, correct?
Yes.
Of your impending future.
Yes.
And Jake, what do you get?
I get to ask one question from Investigate a Mystery right now.
Okay, what is your question?
Where did it go, the kids?
Jake, into your head comes an image of a scummy pond. And at the far side of the pond is a large weeping willow. And you can see that when the wind blows, the vines blow across and there is a cave. As Jake is having this vision, Tash, you get a vision of yourself wading through a scummy pond, walking towards a weeping willow tree, and a shot rings out, and you get clipped in the shoulder, and you spin around, and you see a man dressed in brown with a badge on, and he starts to charge at you, and you tackle him, and you pull the back of his shirt down, and you see a mosquito the size of an orange with its nose buried in his spine. Welcome to This Old Haunted House. On today's episode, we're going to teach you how to clear a room of a pesky unwanted presence. Here we are in a beautifully restored master bedroom. This house was built in 1906, hardwood floors and original crown molding, but as you can hear, the walls wail constantly. It's not shrieking, but it's loud enough to make day-to-day living troublesome. You're going to need two things for this project. A heat-proof container, like a simple ashtray, and a bundle of white sage or desert sage, depending on what you can find locally. I prefer the desert sage, but I'll use white sage in a pinch. Now, you'll want to start by the door, but not in front of it. You'll light the sage in your right hand. Make sure to keep a bucket of water nearby just in case. Hold your fireproof container in your left, and work in one direction, sweeping the smoke from ceiling to floor. I suggest working counterclockwise around the room, as that's usually best for banishing, but some people have success with clockwise, and, well, I'm not one to argue with success. So you'll continue this process, sweeping the smoke, often called smudging, until every inch of the room has been touched by the smoke. I'm just about done here, and there we go. And as you can hear, those wails have faded away, and you can repeat this process in each room of the house as needed. Well, that's all for today's installment of This Old Haunted House. Join us next time when we'll teach you how to get that stubborn sulfur smell out of a previously demon-infested basement. Until then, keep your crucifix handy.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
After all this time...
What time is it again? I feel like the clock stopped.
Time was a tennis ball we could bat round the court.
Time for distraction too.
Time to just sink to the bottom.
Time to get to the meat of this meat.
Time for Greater Boston Season 4. That's right, on September 13th, Greater Boston returns with new full-length episodes released every other Tuesday. And we're so excited for you to hear it. But also, it's been 3 years since our last season wrapped, so... we're maybe a little worried that people might have forgotten about us. So we're asking for you to help spread the word. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell your coworkers and classmates, tell your cat, tell your local subway busker. But politely and without interrupting their performance, point is, now is a good time to share your love for Greater Boston on Twitter and Tumblr and Instagram and TikTok and wherever else you post things. Then come back on September 13th when Greater Boston Season 4 officially begins.